What is the Christian view of the environment? Well, in this set of lessons, we're talking about the world. We're talking about nature. We're talking about the creation from the viewpoint of the Creator Himself. And we want to talk today about the relationship between man and his environment. Now, we're living in an age where people have all kinds of opinions about this, and they're very vocal about those opinions. We hear people telling us what our responsibility toward the environment is, and we're going to talk about what God says about this issue today. We have so much education taking place today on this topic, but most of it is not only apart from the Bible, it is contrary to the Scriptures. And I can't think of anything that is really more foolish than for man, who is the created being of God, to tell God how he ought to run his universe and how he ought to treat his creation. Let's look at what God says this morning about this subject. Let's go back to the beginning. And let's look at the book of Genesis. We're going to read Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And we're going to see what God said about man and the world that he lives in and the relationship between them. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Now, what does God say in the very beginning about man and his relationship to his world? God said, "I'm giving them," that is, we as human beings, "dominion." So man has authority from God to have dominion over the world in which he lives. In verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it." So in verse 26, God says that man has dominion over the earth. And in verse 28 of Genesis 1, God says that man can subdue his world and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God put man over the environment. That's point number one. God placed man over the world in which he lives. So man is not under his environment. And the environment is certainly not equal to man as far as value is concerned. Man is not under the environment or equal to it. Man is over his world or over his environment. Now that's the way that God made us. That's the way that God created this universe. God made the earth for man, and God gave the earth to man to use. Point number two. God wants man to use the ground for his benefit. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible tells us in verse 5, "And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." So you see, God is already talking about man's responsibility to work the ground. Now look down at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. This is after God had made man. And in Genesis 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." So God placed man in the garden, the Bible says, to dress and to keep the ground. Man has the responsibility then to work the ground. The environment was much better then, folks. But after man sinned, even after the ground changed and God cursed the ground, the Bible says that God still requires man to work. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God said, "In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return unto the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." God still wants man to work. So the Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 2, as well as in Genesis chapter 3, that God wants man to use the ground for his benefit, to grow things. Now this teaches us, of course, this obviously implies that God does not intend for us to destroy the ground, to abuse the ground, So if somebody says, well, you know, if we just look at it the way that some preachers preach today, then we won't even have any concern for the environment at all. Well, of course we'll have concern, but we'll know how to keep it in proportion. You see, the problem today, folks, is not with people who are saying that we ought to take care of the environment. It's that some of those people get things so entirely out of perspective that they've lost sight of what God says about it. And they have placed the creation above man himself. And that we cannot do if we're going to look at things in the right kind of way. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting back to these basics of the Bible. Our world is looking at these things in such a skewed way that people don't know what's up or down. They don't know what is right or wrong. They don't know what is valuable and what is not valuable and what is more valuable and less valuable among God's creation. And the reason they don't know that is because they don't really understand what the Bible says. And so we're going back to the Bible to see what God himself says about his creation, which many people just look at it and call, well, the environment. Let's look at it the way that the Bible looks at it and talks about it. So number one, God put man over the environment. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Number two, God wants man to use the ground for his benefit. Genesis 2, verse 5 and 15. Number three, God made man above the animals. Now, we're going to look next at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And what we find here is a scene where Noah has stepped outside of the ark. The flood is over. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, that God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now notice what he says beginning in verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. So the Bible tells us again in verse 2 that man is over his environment. Man is over the animal kingdom. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Now let's pick up in verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now the word meat here simply means this is your food. So everything that moves can be food for you. So God is saying that we have the right to kill animals for food, for clothing, and, of course, for our protection. Does the Bible teach that? It absolutely does. This is something that years ago, people didn't even question. If you turn back the clock 150 years right here in this area, it would be hard to find anybody or hear anybody challenging what the Bible says here. And yet today, all we have to do is to get into the media, to listen to what some very vocal people are saying, and you would think that man is on the same level as an animal and maybe even beneath it. And yet we find in Genesis chapter 9 that we do have the right to kill animals for food and for clothing. Now again, this is no excuse for intentionally tormenting or torturing an animal. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 12 verse 10 that a righteous man regards the life of his beast or his animal. So no, the Bible doesn't approve of people torturing animals or intentionally mistreating animals. But at the same time, man is far above animals. That's the point here that we find in Genesis chapter 9. Now the Bible tells us this, beginning in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 9, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Now, he's talking about murder here, and he says, I'm going to require it. In other words, I'm going to require some kind of payment or punishment to be made. Well, what kind of payment is due? Well, in verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So notice the contrast here. Notice the difference. You see, in verse 2 and 3, God says, now you can kill the animals and you can eat them. You can use them for whatever purpose that you need. So you can kill an animal, and that's not wrong. But if you kill a man, then your life is going to be taken. You take the life of an innocent human being, and your life is going to go for his. That's Genesis 9, verse 6. Why the difference? Because he explains in verse 6, in the image of God made he man. God made man in his own image. God didn't make the animals in his image. He made us in his image. And so there's the difference between the two. Man is far above the animals. This is what the Bible teaches. Now today, many people have this completely out of perspective. Even some churches and church leaders are standing this model of the Bible on its head. We keep hearing people talk about the environment, going green, Mother Earth, animal rights, eco-friendly products. And there are groups today that devote time, great energy, and a lot of money to saving polar bears, to saving tigers, to saving whales, to protecting trees, to protecting our water, to protecting our air, to passing laws to keep our country from using its own natural resources. And friends, concern over abusing the environment is one thing, but putting the environment over man is another. Many of these same people who are so concerned about the environment are pro-homosexual, they are anti-family, and they are pro-abortion. Think of it. They think more of the life of a polar bear than they do the life of an unborn child. They get all upset if they think that we're doing something to endanger the life of an animal, but they're not at all concerned about the slaughter of unborn babies in their mother's womb in this society. In Isaiah 29, verse 16, the Bible talks about people who have things turned upside down, and that certainly applies to the people that we're mentioning here today. But friends, what can we expect when people leave God's standard? When people are not going to follow what the Bible says, and when they're not going to recognize the will of the Creator who gave us this creation anyway, and let us add here that God knows more about, far more about, and is far more concerned about his creation than any animal rights activist today or any environmentalist, when we think about people putting themselves above God in that sense, is it any wonder that they've got things entirely skewed and entirely out of perspective? Friends, our society needs to get back to the Bible view of the world because this is one of the basic teachings of the Creator himself.